As we meditate on God's Word from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the Easter story, this Easter 2020, we welcome both the congregations of St. John's Lutheran and First Lutheran in Poughkeepsie, New York, and our friends wide and near. Let us begin with prayer. God, in the midst of all these uncertainties, as the whole world struggles with COVID-19, as we shelter in place, physically isolated from each other this Easter morning, expand our hearts that we may stretch wide enough to receive the greatness of your love. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia! Boy, I miss the response of the congregation when we say alleluia. But you can do that at home, where you are, in place. We've been on quite a journey, haven't we, since Ash Wednesday, when many of us received the imposition of ashes and heard the jolting reminder of our own mortality. In the words of the creation story from Genesis 3, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. How little did we know then what was about to break open and spread out right in front of us and across the entire world, the terrible global coronavirus pandemic. Some Lenten journey, right? And perhaps the most somber Holy Week experience of our entire lives. And how about this morning, as we gather for this historic joint virtual worship service, two congregations that are one in Christ, with historic local denominational ties, but which, to the best of my knowledge, have never actually joined together to celebrate Easter before. You know, I cannot help but think how pleased Jesus probably is today that we actually have obeyed his dying wish as he prayed so earnestly in that Garden of Gethsemane, as recorded in John chapter 17, and said that they may all be one, as he prayed, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So what do we make of this unprecedented Easter season when we shelter in place rather than enjoying worship and fellowship together in person, adorned in our Easter finest? Well, I ask some of you to share your reflections on what you're feeling about this very unique Easter, and I heard some common threads between the two congregations. Jean from St. John's reflected that community can't be squashed. She says, we continue to have Zoom Bible studies and virtual worship, Facebook interactions, emails, phone calls. The Christ Care group and contemporary worship team plan to gather through Zoom to watch the joint worship together. And our drive-through palm pickup, she said, reached not only our own members, but also people from the community who walked by and were so thirsty for connection. At our First Lutheran Virtual Fellowship Breakfast via Zoom on Thursday, we usually meet at the Acropolis Diner, but there we were on Zoom. Several people reflected on how much more precious each sister and brother in Christ has felt to them during their Lenten journeys this year. Or as Deacon Peter put it, everyone is going through Lent. If they didn't know what the Lenten journey was before, they certainly do now. And Linda from First Lutheran shared that she's been drawn to Poughkeepsie Rural Cemetery, where she's been enjoying the peace and the quiet and the space of fresh air walks. She's visited the graves of her deceased parents and family members. She's enjoyed the encouragement of songbirds and the flowing life and movement of the Hudson River, the spring flowers blooming, and the realization, as she put it, that nothing is over. Easter is not canceled, as the lawn sign on Deacon Pete and our President Nancy's front lawn puts it. Christ has risen and is with us always. Jonathan from St. John shared that with the self-isolating and less crowded streets, it's easier to notice the new life and better appreciate God's creation all around us. And Abby, again from St. John's, reflected on how watching virtual worship services from all over has given her a stronger sense of Christian community during this Easter season amidst the COVID-19 pandemic than ever before, given her greater hope and confidence in who the Holy Spirit has equipped us to be. So here we are on this Easter morning, holding on for dear life, comforted in new ways by our respective church families despite social isolation, and still welcomed into God's embrace of forgiveness and unconditional love. We may be separated by physical space, but never spiritually. But oh, how we will never take the gift of the Lord's Supper for granted again, will we? Unlike all the unknowns of the coronavirus, you and I have the advantage of knowing how this Easter story ends. We know that the cross and the sealed tomb are not the last words of a promising story about a radical rabbi and his motley crew of fishermen and tax collectors and the likes of the woman at the well. But today we turn back to experience the story from the point of view of others 2,000 plus years ago who think that the story of Jesus and his disciples has ended very badly, who are devastated at their own circumstances, their own profound disappointments, as perhaps we are today. Those of us who watch the news and worry about the future or for the well-being of our children and grandchildren, and yes, even for ourselves, we identify. It's so easy to feel afraid these days. Just think what must have been going through the minds of the two women that are featured characters in St. Matthew's version of the Easter story. One of the first evidences of Easter transformation, by the way, appears to be in the status of women. Who told a story in Jesus' day from the perspective of two women, anyway? And yet, these two unlikely starring characters, the two Marys, make their way to the tomb where Jesus has been buried, sealed by a huge stone drawn by their grief, to be near the one they have followed and loved. As they arrive, suddenly, the quiet of dawn is interrupted dramatically by a terrifying earthquake. It's a seismic shift of the foundations of the world. Light has split a crack in the universe, and everything we thought we knew has changed. Next in this Easter story, Matthew gives us an angel with real attitude. This angel appears in a frightening way, coming in the midst of a terrifying earthquake, looking like lightning and possessed of ferocious strength. This angel is not at all pillow soft and feathery wings, but rather has the power to roll back the gigantic tombstone. This angel sits on top of the rolled away stone as though she owns it. This angel's appearance in the midst of the earthquake is so terrifying, in fact, that it scares the guards at the tomb half to death. And then we hear the message of the angel who announces to the women, "Do not be afraid." Now that's biblical code language again, isn't it? Because whenever you hear the phrase, "Do not be afraid," look out, because your whole world is about to be turned upside down. We know that. Sure enough, the two Marys can hardly take in what the angel says next. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." And the tense in the Greek is the past tense. "Come see where he used to lay," that is. And then here it comes. The orders that turn their lives upside down. "Go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." Now, we don't know precisely what passes through their minds after hearing the angel's orders, but logic would dictate that they must have wondered what Peter, James, and John and the other disciples of status might have thought of them. when they came with their incredible eyewitness account and their directive from the angel to meet Jesus in Galilee, where it all began. The male disciples would surely have thought that these bereaved women were crazy with their grief. But there is such an urgency in the angel's message. Go quickly, she says to them. So that in verse 8 of Matthew's account, we read somehow the two Marys muster the courage to take a leap of faith. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And in that leap of faith that is tinged with the reality of fear, as well as the hope against hope of an impossibly joyful expectation, another suddenly confronts them. We read in verse 9 that along the way, suddenly, Jesus meets them. The resurrected Jesus meets Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." What is Matthew trying to say to us in his account of the Easter morning story? Well, first of all, his whole framing of the Easter morning story is just about exploding with excitement and urgency and energy and forward propulsion. The repetition of suddenly and quickly throughout these 10 verses of Matthew's account keep us focused, keep us moving forward. Because resurrection is about moving forward in faith. It's about God's refusal to be stopped in his relentless efforts to demonstrate God's love for the world, for each one of us. Not death, not boulders rolled across tombs, nor anything can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so the Easter story propels us to leave our fear behind and take joy in the adventure of faith that God invites us to embark upon. I had a text message from Donna on Monday, Thursday, an RN at a major medical center in our area and member of First Lutheran. For many years, she has worked on the psych floor, but her text was to share with me that she had just been reassigned as the head nurse on the newly opened COVID-19 unit. With her permission to share, this is what she wrote me. "I prayed with my staff prior to going on the unit. They are scared and uncomfortable. They cried and said they had never prayed before a shift. I assured them God is looking out for all of us. And after the shift was over, I asked if they wanted to pray again. They all jumped up, and we stood 6 feet apart, observing social distancing, and prayed for the safety of the next shift and all of our patients. I said, 'See, you did it.' I thanked all of them like I always do. And as we were walking out to get our temperatures taken at the end of our shifts, some of the nursing staff who had been on the unit with me were talking, and I overheard them saying, 'Wow, that prayer got me through last night.'" The Easter story is also about not getting stuck in our frustration and grief about everything that is wrong, everything that's a source of disappointment or despair, the despair of our own failures, or the disappointment we experience in how others have treated us. The Easter story is about Christ rising from the dead to run ahead of us and to meet us along our way in unexpected places and people, to bring us over and over again a message of hope and presence. Do not be afraid. But also, to put before us a task as followers of Jesus, to go and tell. As Jesus said to the two Marys, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Now, why Galilee, do you suppose? Well, Galilee is the center of Jesus' ministry in the gospel stories. It is the place where he entered into the lives of ordinary human beings, often those who were most in need, marginalized by the society of Jesus' day. The sick, the outcasts, the lonely, the dying, those who mourned, old women and young children, and the despised. Galilee was the place where Jesus taught his disciples to have eyes to see and ears to hear the needs of others. And so symbolically, Galilee is for us today. Everywhere our lives are lived or placed on hold. The Easter story is about Jesus coming to meet us where we are now in our lives, saying to us, do not be afraid, not even as the coronavirus threatens us. Jesus is saying to you and me this Easter Sunday that as we move forward in faith, that is where Jesus will be waiting to receive us, to accompany us on our faith journeys like Donna did with her terrified nursing team on Maundy Thursday Eve. So go quickly, don't wait, to tell the story of God's love for you and for the whole world. Put God's love into action now. Touch the lives of anyone you can reach out to. And when you do this, suddenly you will see me, Jesus says to us. And just as suddenly, you will be helping to shift the balance of the kingdoms we live in between in favor of God's kingdom of love, of forgiveness, of reconciliation, where we all can feel hope and know joy and joy and joy. The message of Easter for us today is this: do not be afraid. Go, move forward in faith, and that is where Jesus will be waiting to meet you. There is where you will see him. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.